Have you ever battled with fear in your life? I know I have. And growing up in the church, learning how to be a follower of Christ, there were people, and I believe the hearts were in the right place, but they told me that if I was a follower of Christ, I should never fear anything. Later on in life, when God began to call me into the ministry, I felt like maybe something was wrong with me, like my faith wasn't good enough, because I had a terrible, paralyzing, crippling fear of standing in front of people speaking. It took me a while to learn through my own studies and through prayer and God's help that the fact of the matter is that fear is not something that we're not going to experience in this life. It's that we are able to overcome fear. And God has given us strategies in His Word, and He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome fear so that we can step into everything that He wants us to step into in this life. Sometimes we may be going through a battle, maybe it's a health battle or a relationship battle, and we're fearing, we're worried about what's going to happen, and we don't know what to do. And I want to share with you today that one of the ways to overcome fear is based on what it is that we see in our lives. Not just physically see, but what we see in the spiritual. And if we get that lined up, we're going to see that God is there, that God is able to do the miraculous, and He's going to do far more than we ever could have expected Him to do. So if you deal with fear and you want to know how to overcome that, today's message is going to be for you. So again, this week, don't tune me out. It's going to help you. So thank you for being here today, and welcome to The Refuge. You know, I've been in ministry, some kind of ministry now, for basically 25 years. I started back when I was, you know, in my early 20s, teaching in a Sunday school, a junior boys Sunday school class. I taught Sunday school. I've been assistant pastor, youth pastor, done some outreach, worship leader, some kind of ministry now for about 25 years, give or take a few little gaps in there. And I've been able to do a lot of things and experience a lot of things, do a lot of Bible studies, preach a lot of messages over the years. And when I reflect back over that, you would not think, if you knew me when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, you would not think that I would have ended up in the ministry in any way, shape, or form, because one of the things that defined my life back at that, in my younger days, was that I was incredibly fearful of speaking in front of people. And it's amazing how many pastors, teachers, and you know, worship leaders I've spoken to over the years who have a very similar story, that they felt like they were called to step forward into the ministry for God and to speak or to maybe sing or do whatever, but they were so fearful in their heart of doing that that it kept them from being able to step forward into it. And that really did define me for quite a while when I was young. In fact, when I got into college, I had to take a speech class in some of the things I was studying, and four times in a row, and you would think I'm making this up, but I'm not, four times in a row, I got into a speech class, and before I even got up to give my first, you know, little 2 or 3 minute speech, I dropped out of the class because I was too fearful to stand up in front of that group of people and preach. And you know, now I stand up in front of people all the time, and it's not that big of a deal. But back then, I was terrified to the point of just about being paralyzed by the fear of standing in front of people. And so I felt like, you know, along the way that God was calling me into the ministry, and I'm trying to work out those two things, that obviously if I'm going to be a pastor, I have to get up in front of people and talk, and if I'm going to be a worship leader, I've got to get up in front of people and sing. How can I reconcile that with this fear that I have inside of my life? Over the years, Jesus really did, I believe God really came in and began to help me to work through that fear. And I think that for most people, unless God has straight up just gifted you with a gift of boldness and a desire to take risks, I think that most people have some kind of fear when it comes to stepping out into new things or taking a step of faith into things that they may not understand. Or maybe it's the fear of going through a situation in your life that you don't feel like you could handle, and so you're paralyzed with the fear of what may happen. And that's really what I want to talk about today. We started this message series last week called See. And what I really want to talk to you about today is that oftentimes the ability to overcome fear and anxiety and step into the things that God really is leading us into and overcoming that fear, is really based on what it is that we're focusing on in our life and how we're focusing on that. So we're going to talk about that today. I believe it's going to help you. So last week I read a quote to you, and I want to read it again today because it really was kind of a quote that inspired what this whole series is sort of built around. And I read this quote from Helen Keller, and she said this. She said, "One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar." One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, how that relates to many times in our life when we're kind of creeping through life believing that there's something that we want to do or something we could do, or believing that there's something in us that needs to be expressed more than we are, but we're just going along, and a lot of times it's fear that's keeping us from soaring, and so we live our life just creeping along, and God really wants us to soar. And so that brings me to my bottom line, and I want to give this to you again today. My bottom line for this entire series is, if you want to soar, first you must see. If you want to soar, first you must see. If you want to overcome the life that just kind of creeps through and gets by, and you really want to soar with God, you have to see things the way that God sees things, and you have to live your life based on what you see, not on what you're just experiencing in your own self. And so we're going to talk about that today. And today I really want to give you a little bit of a story from the prophet Elisha. And we're going to talk about fear, and we're going to talk about overcoming it. And so I want to get ready to read my scripture to you today, but I just want to give you a little backstory to what I want to read to you. Elisha was a prophet in Israel, and the king of Syria was trying to come and attack Israel over and over again. And yet every time he was getting ready to attack, God would tell the prophet Elisha what the king of Syria was going to do. So Elisha would go to the king of Israel and say, "Hey, the king's going to attack you at this time on this day. And you know, you need to know that and take steps to deal with that or avoid that or go in and whatever." And so it happened so many times that the king of Syria began to think that he had a spy in among his servants that were around him. And so he came to his servants and said, "Somebody tell me who's spying on me." And one of the servants piped up and said, "You know, it's not any one of us that's doing anything. It's that prophet over there, Elisha. He is telling the king everything that's going on, even the things that you're doing in your bedroom," basically is what he's saying. And so the king says, "Well, go get Elisha and bring him to me." And so the men are sent out. They're going to go find Elisha. And they find Elisha. And Elisha is, in this little place he's staying at, and early in the morning, Elisha's servant walks outside, and he looks up and he sees that they are completely surrounded with the army of the enemy that is coming after them. And so Elisha's servant runs back into him, and he says, Elisha, we're surrounded. It's bad. It's they're coming for us." And Elisha's response to that is really what brings me to the scripture that I want to read to you today. This is Elisha's response to the fact that he is surrounded by an army that is coming to take him captive and probably ultimately going to kill him. This is his response. So in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, it says, "So he answered," that's Elisha, "so he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." The first thing that I want to say to you today about that verse that I just read to you is this, is that faith and fear are fueled by what we see. Faith and fear are fueled by our see. Elisha and Elisha's servant were both looking at the exact same situation, and yet they saw it in a completely different way. Elisha's servant looked at them being surrounded and said, "Oh no, we're done for." Elisha looked at that and said, "Oh, this is no big deal." And I wonder if you've ever known anybody that's like that. You know, I've had certain people in my life, and you know, I've been gifted. I don't know if it's a gift or whatever, but. I say that facetiously, but I've been gifted with a gift of being a realist. I'm very focused on what is, what the circumstances are. I have an amazing grasp of what is obvious. And so there are times when we may be in a situation or whatever, and I'll say, you know, well, here's the situation. I'll lay out all the obstacles that are in our way and all of that. And then somebody will just pipe up and say, well, yeah, that's no big deal. And you know, that's at times that can be very inspiring because it's somebody that's speaking out of that place of faith. But at other times, let's be honest, that can be kind of annoying because here I am, I'm laying out all of my reasons for what our obstacles, our problems are, and they're just blowing that off like it's no big deal. And so sometimes that can be kind of frustrating, but the bottom line of the thing is, it's not that they're blowing things off, it's that they're seeing things from a different perspective than I may be seeing. And that's what's going on with Elisha. Elisha is seeing a different situation than his servant is, even though they are both with their physical eyes looking at the exact same thing. And so what is it that they're seeing? Elisha is seeing through the eyes of faith, and his servant is seeing through the eyes of fear. And so whatever it is that you're seeing is going to determine whether you're operating through faith or whether you're operating through fear. You know, let's face it, we all face challenges in our life. And those challenges can be very overwhelming. And we can just kind of look at the challenge up front and say, well, I just can't do it. I'm too scared. It won't work. There's too many obstacles in our way. Or we can choose to see things from a different way where we would say, listen, is God in this? Is this what God is leading to? Is this what God is saying? And if it is, even though the obstacles are still there, I believe that if I step out and believe God, that he will move me farther down that road than I could get on my own. Faith, real true faith, is not pretending that obstacles don't exist. It's not pretending that fear doesn't try to come against us. Real faith is looking at what God says and believing what God says more than the circumstances that we're seeing in front of us. So sometimes people think, well, if you have faith in God, you'll never fear anything. Fear is a part of life. Fear is going to come at us from every direction in our life. Especially, you know, when I think of doing anything that's spiritually relevant, if we're going to do something in our life that's eternal and it really means something, that challenge to accomplish that thing is going to be met with two things. It's going to be met with an inner barrier of fear and anxiety. Can I do this? Or I don't believe I can do this. Or I don't believe it'll work out. So it'll be met with an inner fear an inner barrier of fear. On the other hand, it will be met with an outer barrier of people that are skeptical. When God really calls you to do something, there will always be someone around you saying, no, it won't work, it's not going to happen, you know, that's not what God has called you to, or whatever the situation is. So if we're ever going to do something that spiritually matters, we're going to be met with that fear inside of us, and we're going to be met with skepticism from the outside. And when we see our fear, and when we see the skepticism, it causes us to back up and say, well, maybe this is not really where I want to go. But there's another way to look at that, is to say, I know that I'm fearful. I know that there are obstacles, but I believe God can get me through. I know that people don't believe that this is what God is saying or what God wants to do, but I believe that this is what God is saying. So I'm going to focus on what God is saying instead of what people are saying. And we begin to move seeing through the eyes of faith like Elisha, instead of seeing through the eyes of fear like his servant. So just remember that faith and fear are both fueled by what we see. So what is it that you're looking at in your life? When you're facing a storm in your life, are you looking at where God is in the midst of the storm, or are you just looking at the storm? When you're being called to a higher place in your walk with God, are you looking at the cost of going to that higher place, or are you looking at the reward of finding Christ in that place because you've been obedient to him? Faith and fear are both fueled by what we see. So what is it that you're looking at and focusing on in your life? And so how do we shift our focus from a focus on fear to a focus on faith? And I believe we see that in this story as well. And that is this. My first point was that faith and fear are fueled by what we see. My second point is this. The things that we see, the thing we focus on, must be spiritually rooted. It must be spiritually rooted. what we see cannot be based on what we physically are looking at, but what we see in the spiritual, where God is and what God is doing. And so when you look at this story of Elisha, Elisha doesn't try to convince, this is one of the things I love about this story. Elisha doesn't try to convince his servant out of his fear. He doesn't try to say, you know what, don't fear everything. He does say, don't be afraid. But instead of trying to talk him out of his fear, he just prays. He just turns to prayer. And so when we look at verse 17, it says, Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. So why did Elisha pray for his servant's eyes to be opened? It may seem like a simple question. It may seem like an irrelevant question, but it's a very important question. Because here's the thing that was going on. Elisha's servant's fear was rooted in the fact that his eyes were wide open. He was looking at the problem around him. He was looking at what was about to happen to him. He was seeing things very clearly in the physical world. And so why does Elisha say, open his eyes that he can see? Elisha was not praying that his physical eyes would be open. He was praying that his spiritual eyes would be open. And so when he prays for him, he doesn't try to talk him out of his fear. He just turns to God and says, God, you are the one that has to cause this young man to see things from your perspective. And that is so important. If you're a follower of Christ, it is so important that you turn to God and say, God, you help me to see the way that you see, not according to what I see with my physical eyes, not according to my circumstances, not according to my obstacles, not according to my fears, but according to what you want me to see. And so Elisha prays and he says, Lord, open this young man's eyes so that he can see what it is that you're really doing here. And that is so awesome. And I want to make this point to you. What we see must be spiritually rooted. It must be rooted in what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us in our lives and in our walk with God. It has to be rooted in what the Holy Spirit is causing us to see. And so how do we do that in our life? And the first thing is pray. Just like Elisha prayed for his servant, we need to pray for ourselves and say, Father, you know, wake up every morning and say, Father, today I pray that you would open my eyes to see you, to see where you're at, to see what you're doing, so that we can pray and that God will respond through his Holy Spirit and begin to give us different perspectives on the things that we may be dealing with in our life. And so I have a little formula that I like to say, and this is not something I made up. I've heard it many, many times before, but I love it. If you want to see through true spiritual eyes, then there's something you need to do. It's called prayer, word, worship, repeat. Prayer, word, worship, repeat. Prayer, word, worship, repeat. When we live a life that is based on prayer, the word of God, worshiping God, and we continue in that cycle, all of a sudden, the things that we see in the physical will begin to give way to what God is saying is going on spiritually. We will begin to see through the eyes of God, through the eyes of his word. We will see what the Holy Spirit wants us to see instead of just what we're experiencing. And so prayer, the word, worship, repeat. If you will begin, if you're already doing it, keep doing it. But if you will begin, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with moving forward in your relationship with God, just jump into prayer, the word of God, worship, and just continue in that cycle. And all of a sudden, it's not a thing that just happens like that, but all of a sudden you'll notice you begin to think differently. You begin to see differently. You begin to speak differently. You begin to hear things differently. You begin to have a completely different perspective on life, on the callings of God in our lives, on the situations, the storms that we're going through in life. We have a completely different perspective because we have invited God to cause us to see the way that he wants us to see instead of just seeing through our physical eyes. And so Elisha prays for his servant and said, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes. It is only the word of God and the spirit of God that can open your eyes to be able to see in such a way that you can truly overcome fear and become fearless in your life as you're pursuing God. And when I say fearless, it's not that fear isn't there. It's that fear is irrelevant in your life. Even though it tries to come at you, you're able to overcome it because you are seeing through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, through the eyes of the Word of God. So you have to turn to God. Notice one more time, I want to say this again because I don't want it to be lost in what I'm saying. Elisha did not try to talk his servant out of fear. He did not try to reason with him not to fear. He simply prayed and said, God, you open his eyes so that he can see things spiritually and not just physically. And that's what we need to do in our lives as well. And so, point number one was what? Faith and fear are fueled by what we see. Point number two is that our see must be spiritually rooted. And my last point that I want to bring to you today is that the invitation to overcome our fear, the invitation to see things spiritually, the invitation to overcome our fear and live a life fueled by faith is an invitation for everyone. And I want to take a look at this. And my third point is this: God gives us an open invitation to see. An open invitation to see. Take a look at verse 17 there. It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I love this. I love it. And it may be that I'm reading into this verse something that isn't there, but I don't think so. I've kind of prayed on this. I've studied it. I've kind of dug it out. I saw something in this passage that I've never seen before. And to be honest with you, I've read this story over a hundred times. And I've preached on this. I've taught on this. And as I was preparing this message, I saw something that I had never seen before. You'll notice two things happen in that little piece of that verse I just read to you. It says, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. So we know this, that Elisha already saw from the beginning. And then Elisha prays for his servant and he says, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes and the servant saw. And so the two people that are in this equation, Elisha and his servant, they are both seeing. And yet that verse goes on and says, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And that really, that and behold jumped out at me. And I'd never seen this before, but it jumped into my mind. And the question is, who is supposed to behold? That word behold, and we talked about this last week, I believe, is that behold means stop what you're doing and look here right now. Stop what you're doing and pay attention. Turn your attention to this. Behold, when Jesus came up, John the Baptist stopped. And remember last week he told his disciples, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Stop what you're doing and look over there at what's happening. And so we see in this passage that Elisha already saw. Elisha prays for his servant and his servant saw. And yet that verse goes on and says, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. So who is it that's being called to behold? Elisha saw, his servant saw. So who is supposed to behold in this verse? And I believe that those who are supposed to behold is you and me. What it's really doing, see, God put this story in the Bible, not just so that we could have a history of what was going on with Israel, what was going on with the king, what was going on with Elisha, just a completely historical, here's the story. That's not the reason this story is in the scripture. The story is in the scripture so that we will behold what God did and we will behold the lesson that is to be learned in this story. And the lesson that is to be learned is that God has called us not to see through the eyes of fear, but through the eyes of faith. And he's called us to have that ability to see that way come by being connected to God through prayer, word, worship, repeat, that we are to behold that there is an open invitation to live this kind of life of faith with God. To live the kind of life of faith that no matter what you're facing, no matter what your struggle, no matter what it is that God is calling you to do, no matter how big that may seem. Some of you might be dealing with health problems, or you might be dealing with relationship problems, and they feel so overwhelming that you don't think there's any answer. You may be there's that we talk about this all the time. You have a call on your life, and there's a fear that's keeping you from stepping into that call. There is an open invitation in this story for you to see that if you will see through the eyes of faith, God can do miracles in and around your life. There's an open invitation. The life of faith, the life of faith that brings true life to us, abundant life that Jesus promised that we would live, is open to everybody. Oftentimes we go, well, I see a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, some Christian that's on fire, and they have an extra gift of faith to believe God. But that gift is not for me. I'm here to tell you today that there is an open invitation to live a life of faith that is rooted in what the Holy Spirit is showing you, that is rooted in what the Word of God says, that is rooted in understanding where God is and running to that place. And if you will find that place and you will see life in that way, then God can do miracles around your life. Now, I'm going to get ready to wrap up today, and we're going to talk more about this story next week. But when you read the rest of this story, we find out that it really didn't have to do with the horses and chariots that surrounded up on the mountains, those horses and chariots of God that would defeat the enemy. It's that God just tells Elisha, here's a strategy. Here's how you're going to defeat the enemy. And God comes in, and Elisha does something that seems so, again, crazy, bizarre, weird, and yet Elisha does it, and he overcomes those that came to take his life, and he ends up winning a great battle, a great victory for God. God protects him in the midst of that storm through a strategy that you would never think. Where did that strategy come from? How did Elisha know that? He knew it because God showed it to him. He saw it, he responded, and God moved. And so I want to tell you today, dig into prayer. Dig into the Word of God. Lean into worship. Begin to let your mind, your thoughts, your actions, your attitude, the way that you view the world around you, to be shaped by prayer, the Word, and the worship of God, and understanding who God is and what He's capable of, understanding what His Word says, and going to Him and saying, God, show me what I need to see, and He will show you, He will do miracles, He will give you great victory in your life. And I know that's true because He's done it in my life over and over and over again. I'm at a place in my life now, I started with a terrible fear of standing in front of people and preaching, and now I'm at a place where I can't wait to do it. It's the calling, it's the passion of my life, is to be able to stand up in front of people and proclaim the Word of God to them. God completely helped me to overcome that fear and step into His call on my life. And He will do the same for you, no matter what that call is. No matter what the storm is you might be going through, He will cause you to see things in a different way. And He will be with you. He will get you through. And I know it's true, because again, He's done it in my life. He'll do it for you too. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me today. Again, it's been awesome having you. I'm going to say this every week, and I do say it every week. We'll continue to. I know you don't have to watch this, but you're taking the time to do it today, and I thank you. Please drop a comment in the box below and let me know what you think. Let me know that you are here. Click the like button, the subscribe button. Share it. Let the world know. Help us to get the word out that God is good and God is with us, and He wants to help us. He wants to save us. And He wants to let purpose be unleashed in our life. So if you would comment, like, subscribe, I'd appreciate it. I love you. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you for everyone that may be watching this. Maybe they're listening to it as a podcast. Maybe they're watching on a video on YouTube or Facebook or wherever it might be, listening in their car as they're driving down the road. Or maybe they're out for a walk and they're listening to this as a podcast. I pray, Father, today that you would be with each one that is listening. I pray that you would open, just like Elisha prayed for his servant, I ask for every person that hears these words that you would open their eyes and let them see that what you're doing in their life is greater than anything that's in their way. And if they focus on you, they're going to be able to accomplish anything that you want to accomplish in them. And I thank you for that. I praise you. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.